Hi, this is Pods Ninja, a podcast dedicated to the African people and culture. I sure hope you're having a wonderful time, and I'm glad that you've been super conscious about your hygiene. Let us be intentional about our health as we battle the coronavirus. You are most welcome to the listening help of the century. Kindly follow on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter for updates. Stay tuned. Short and interesting. A very good friend of mine, actually a mentor, Black Buff History, a podcaster as well, asked that I say something about the Igbo landing, and I decided to turn it into a mini pod or a mini cast. So the next record you will be hearing is what I sent to him, and I also believed he's going to use that knowledge to his benefit, which is obviously the essence of the record. But I also want to extend it to my platform and those who have been listening to me. I'd like to say thank you. Thank you so much for lending me your listening ears. I truly appreciate that. So here we go, Igbo landing. And I hope at the end of it all, you have enjoyed it. This is a bit different from the usual 25 to 30 minutes podcast I usually do, but what's your time? Hi, this is Pods Ninja. Thank you so much for giving me this platform. I'm super excited I'm sharing this story with you. Also, I am happy that thousands of people on your platform will get to hear my voice. Yes. So, I want to talk about the Igbo landing of May 1803. Some of your audience may already know this and some may not, but I feel that I need to give you a summary of what truly happened, because it did happen. This particular story is considered as one of the largest mass suicides of enslaved people that took place when the Igbo captives were taken to Georgia. The Igbos are one of the three major ethnic groups in Nigeria: the Hausas, the Yorubas, and the Igbos. And during the transatlantic slavery of Nigeria, the Igbo tribe were revered because they were industrious, they were proud, they were independent, they were known to perform their duties with or without supervision. That is like what every recruiter wants to see in the possible candidates. Every organization see an employee who is able to work without supervision as an asset. So yeah, the Igbo tribe were revered. These slaves were bought for about $100 each by two merchants, John Cooper and Thomas Spalding. They were chained and packed and sailed. They were sailing rather to St. Simon's. History has it that during this voyage, 75 Igbo captives took control of the ship and drowned the captors. The other part of history, however, remains unclear. But I'd like you to know that the Igbo landing has come to occupy great symbolic importance in African American folklore. And as I said earlier, the other part of this story remains unclear, because apparently only a subset of the 75 Igbo rebels drowned. According to an account, 13 bodies were recovered. Some were salvaged by bounty hunters and sold for $10. Yes. Others remain missing. Some may have survived the episode, actually. So this made the actual numbers of deaths uncertain. I have studied this particular story, wondering why, despite successfully carrying out the rebellion, they decided to commit mass suicide. So my opinion, apart from the fact that a lot of people say the Igbos would rather die than be slaves in a foreign land, I think strongly at the time the Igbos were almost righteous They were just and would not want to commit murder over and over again to be free. Also, I think they passed judgment on themselves. You know, anyone who kills shall be killed, so there was no fear of death whatsoever. In fact, death to them was more of transition into peace. It was to be celebrated. So together with the Eye Chief, they sang, walked into the marshy creeks of Dunbar, singing in their dialect, which means the water spirit brought us, the water spirit will take us back. Either way, in oneness of heart and mind, the Igbos chose death, for it meant that they would find peace quicker than they had hoped. Many historians for centuries refused to believe the story, thinking it was more of a legend than a fact. But thanks to accounts of people like Roswell King and scientific techniques used to reconstruct this episode and confirm the factual basis of these accounts, thanks to that, we know now that it truly happened. In September 2002, the St. Simon's African American community organized a two-day commemoration with events that related to this episode. A procession was held at the site. 75 attendees were present from different countries across the United States, Nigeria, Brazil, and Haiti. The attendees designated this land as a holy ground and, you know, called for the souls of these people to be permanently at rest. I'd also like you all to know that contemporary artists like Beyoncé have paid homage to the Igbo landing in their work. Michael B. Jordan, who played Killmonger in Black Panther, for some of you who have watched it, also paid homage to the Igbo landing. So yeah, this is my abridged version of what happened. If you want to know more, the internet is at your fingertips. And I'd also like to say that this particular record will not have been possible without some research. Thanks to blackpast.org, face2faceafrica.com, thinkafrica.com, and the good old Wikipedia. Also, I'd like to thank you, Black History Buff, for giving me this opportunity. This very short episode, I promised you. My next episode is going to be about Kenya, and I told you, you will love it. I'm letting you know this now so you can anticipate what you stand to hear by the time the next episode is ready. And I'll ensure or try my possible best to make sure that I release the next episode before the beginning of a new weekday. Do have a wonderful day. Have fun. Stay corona free. Be conscious of your health. Be intentional about your health too. Bye.